Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies and you stream your music, why not stream your podcast? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 5,000 of your favorite shows right to your smartphone or pad. You can download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. I use it and I love it. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. We got three shows this week. Pretty exciting. Show on a Wednesday. I have Andrew and Sabrina from the band Sweet Spirit in here today. Their full-length debut album, Kokomo, comes out Friday, October 16th on 9 Mile Records. The record was produced by my pal Mike McCarthy. And they were in here earlier this year as their other band, A Giant Dog. But they spent most of the year touring as Sweet Spirit, and they've done a few tours this year. They did one with Spoon. They ended up recording a single with Britt Daniel from Spoon, Have Mercy and Paper Tiger, which you can find on their Bandcamp. It's absolutely fantastic. I suggest that you go to their website, sweetspiritatx.com, because their record comes out on October 16th, but they're leaving on tour this weekend, October 3rd. They'll be playing in McAllen, and then they'll be going to New Orleans, and then all the way up the East Coast, all the way through October 24th when they come back to Austin. They'll be hitting Chicago. They'll be playing CMJ in New York. They'll be playing all the big places, all right? So go to sweetspiritatx.com. Find out about their record, Kokomo, which is absolutely gorgeous. They did a great job. They're a fantastic band. And look, man, they're doing great. And listen, the album's getting great reviews, which leads me into what's going on with me. In the new Austin Monthly magazine, there's a 4-star review of their album, Kokomo. And on the same page, there's a story about How Did I Get Here? Yeah, I did an interview with them last month and a couple months ago, and it came out this month in the October issue of Austin Monthly. I want to give them a shout out. Thank you so much for recognizing the show and the 400 episodes. So yeah, check it out. If you don't live in Austin, you can go to austinmonthly.com and check it out there and read the Sweet Spirit review. It's a great review. The album's absolutely fantastic. I suggest you get it, okay? So listen, a couple of other promotional things I got to tell you about. I have failed to tell you that about a week ago, I have a web series with my friend AJ Vallejo from the band Vallejo, and it's called Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ. And we've put out, I think, 5 or 6 episodes. Anyway, the last episode we did was fantastic, man. We went to Willie Braun's house from Reckless Kelly, and we made ribs and coleslaw. It was absolutely delicious, man. And you can watch that on YouTube. I'll put a link to it on the old Facebook page there. And also, one more bit of promotion. My friend Amy Edwards started a podcast called The Real Show, and I was a guest on it yesterday. Episode 4, you can find that at therealshow.net if you want to hear about it. I talk about the podcast and what it's like to do podcasting. Mostly about the podcast is what we talk about, how, you know, I get through them, you know, what keeps me motivated doing them, what the guests are like, whatever. It's a really good conversation. Amy's a great host, and she's got a great show. So check it out, therealshow.net. I'm episode number 4. And yeah, that's about it for me. I want to tell you that Sweet Spirit's album Kokomo is absolutely fantastic. It comes out Friday, October 16th. That's in a couple weeks. Couple weeks from this week. Get out there and get it. It's really great. You can go to sweetspiritatx.com. Find out if they're coming to a town near you. They're going up the East Coast, and they'll be gone for like a month. So check it out. See if they're coming to you. Going to Cleveland, going to Chicago, going to Brooklyn, going to Philly, going to Asbury Park, New Jersey, and playing the Saint, one of my favorite places. So let's sit down with Sabrina and Andrew from the amazing band Sweet Spirit and talk to them about what it's like having a 9-piece band making their new album Kokomo and just general zaniness, all right? Here's Sabrina and Andrew from the great band Sweet Spirit. Let's get down.
Oh,
Let's do that.
Okay. Ready? Give me just a second. Okay. I feel that groove.
Come on, Andrew. I wonder, I bet we could invent, there's got to be a language like, will you talk for a second, Andrew?
Check, talk, say,
oh,
talk,
yeah.
Check.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Just scoot in a little bit whenever you go to talk.
All right.
So who produced Kokomo? That was my big question that I had for you guys.
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, our old so you chum. Did same guy.
Yeah, we've been pretty steady with McCarthy.
Well, he did a great job. And yeah. You guys did a great job. Those songs they're awesome.
Thank you.
The album's awesome.
Oh yeah, like, we brought you.
You brought me a physical
a
copy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh nice.
We don't
Thank
have
you.
Vinyls
not even out yet.
Because
I know
the presses are so backed up. But this is our CD, which
thank you so much.
We're gonna
it's
go
called
forward
Kokomo.
And release it as a CD.
What made you call it Kokomo?
You know, we like the tropical idea. We like the island mentality.
I mean, we already had like 30, 40 songs written when we were making that, and we had this idea to go out to Hawaii and record something completely different than what we were recording, just like acoustic, very tropical sounding.
Really?
We just had that. That was just like a verbal idea that we had.
Do you guys like the song Kokomo by
Absolutely.
Twist? You do?
It's great.
Oh, it's so
Who doesn't
good.
Like that song?
They made
I
up
don't.
Their own
oh, really?
Island.
That's awesome.
Well, why don't you like it?
I don't know.
Pray tell.
I don't know. Because when it came out, I didn't...
How old were you?
I was like... I don't know. When did it come out? 88?
Yeah.
I was like 19 or 20.
You were just really rebellious at that time,
Johnny. Yeah, I wasn't going to get into
you
some...
You weren't going to be into something that mainstream. Those were old dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
They were on Full House.
I liked them. I liked them a long time ago before that. Oh, yeah, and then all of a sudden they got Uncle Jesse over there.
Who's hot?
Playing conga.
I sound shallow when I say something like that, but Uncle Jesse, I realize now...
Oh, he's gotten better with
he's
age.
He's the uncle that lives in the basement and plays in a band. He's Uncle Jesse... And we all really liked him as kids, right?
I think I became Uncle
Jesse.
Yeah,
we all kind of turned into Uncle
Jesse. Here's how old I am. I thought he was cool when he was like the young guy on General Hospital, like when Rick Springfield was on there.
Yeah.
In the era of Luke and Laura. But anyway, longtime Stamos fan. His pick is somewhere on that thing.
His pick?
Yep, my friend Mark Newman was the sound guy for the Beach Boys a lot of the time. And so he has his own John Stamos.
Do the Beach Boys play instruments when they play live?
You know what's funny, Sabrina? It's funny that you asked that. Because
they didn't even play on the records.
I know that they don't play on the records, but I thought that maybe, okay, this is really
the
hard.
The hell you say? No, I'm joking.
This is hard stuff, and if they can execute this live, that's so impressive. And then I got into an argument over breakfast with our keyboard player, Jake, because he was talking about watching One Direction on YouTube, and he was, like, full of mirth and delight when he said this. And One Direction is, like, a British boy band. And he's like, they're really charming. And I was like, Jake, I can't believe that you're sitting across from me in Tomball, Texas, telling me after a gig, a hard night of work,
that you
like this band of boy fashion models who suck and draw out like 30,000 prepubescent girls and put them in tears. I'm like, this is horrible stuff. And he goes, well, the Beach Boys were basically like One Direction. They didn't play their instruments. And I was just like,
well, they did live.
I was floored. I wanted to strangle Jake. So you're saying that live they do play the bass, like play the guitar, maybe some hand drums.
They all just play bass.
Sure, but the deal is now, like, there's, who's left?
Please.
I didn't even ask because, okay, this is what I was going to say, is one night I played at Continental Club, and then after our gig, Rosie Flores and
I just hung out with her the other night.
She's awesome, right?
Yeah, she has, like, an awesome voice. She's so cool.
Oh, she's unbelievable. Well, she showed up.
She might not have known we were hanging out. I was watching her play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Sabrina, will you scoot in a little bit?
Really, so, I fear I'm too loud, so.
No, you're okay. Great. So she showed up with my friend Mark that ran sound for the Beach Boys. After a Beach Boys show, they all showed up at Continental Club, but not like Mike Love or Al Jardine, which I guess are the only guys left.
Yeah.
Right? It was like whoever the guys are in the band, and they got up and played, and they played their instruments when they played. They were great. A nice. Bunch of old dudes in rosy flows.
All wearing Hawaiian shirts?
No, but they weren't like, you know, they didn't look like Mick Jagger.
They weren't wearing Hawaiian shirts?
No.
Oh.
I think you've romanticized that.
Oh, no.
That so much. So last time I saw you guys...
When were we here? It feels like it could have been two years or six months.
I think it was a year ago.
It was cold out. And I was wearing long sweater.
It was last winter. Yeah. And you came in as a giant dog. Yeah.
And Sweet Spirit was very new.
Very new. I think you had just put out that EP, or it was about to come out or something.
Yeah. I think that's why we're here. It was about to come out.
Right. And then you toured with Spoon, and then you guys put out a single with Britt.
Yes.
Dual single.
Sweet Spirit, yeah.
Sweet Spirit. That's great. That song is, what's the name?
Your song is Have Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And so you've been on the road this year, or just making this album, or what's been going on this year for you guys?
We've been on the road so much that it's jeopardized our standing at work. Not mine, but some people's. It's jeopardized some life creature comforts that people nearing the age of 30 couldn't enjoy or desire. But yeah, we've pretty much been on the road every other month.
That's the reality.
Yeah, that's the reality.
I think this stint is the longest we've been home.
Yeah, we're...
But it's only been like a month and a half.
We're leaving again in 8 days.
Right, you leave in 8 days and you're out for a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, pretty much.
All on the East Coast. And A, you're playing my one of my favorite places in all of America, The Saint in Asbury Park.
That place is such a trip. It's so awesome. I've been playing there for years.
Me too.
With my old band Bobby Jealousy used to play there, and Bradley Noel from Sublime had signed the green room. I'm going to show you that, Andrew.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah? Is it still there?
Oh, yeah. Wait. It says Bradley was here, and he'd circled it.
And you just assumed that was Bradley?
No.
Sublime.
I was told.
That's got to be.
I was told by the owner of The Saint, an awesome dude. And there's a Jamaican restaurant next door. It's delicious.
I've not been there since there's been a Jamaican restaurant.
They're fun. They're fun there. They're always partying behind the restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go back there, party with them.
I got a sound guy from there.
You did?
Uh-huh. We hijacked their house, dude, and took them on tour with us because our guy had left a couple of days before.
They got a red curtain in there.
Yeah.
Of a red velvet curtain, and they draw it out in front of the band, and you set up behind it. And then over the loudspeaker, they announce your band and some details about your band.
Oh, that's
cool.
The
curtain draws open, and you start playing.
Don't you appreciate a curtain?
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
We should get into freeze frame silhouettes of scenarios.
There's nothing glamorous about you on your knees, like putting your pedals in and.
No.
And just having to make like weird eye contact with people that are front and center.
Yeah.
While you're doing that.
There's a lot of you guys in the band. And so when you travel, I need to start filming this shit when you come in here, Sabrina, because you're very entertaining to watch.
I'm
For
a
those of you
person.
Who didn't know, she was very dramatically eating her hair.
And Johnny's crying.
A lot of people in your band. How big is your van? How do you travel? What's going on there?
I mean,
you're not Mother Falcon or like, you know, Polyphonic Spree or something, but there's
a
lot of people.
We get compared to them.
You do?
Or
because of the amount of people?
We've been compared to Polyphonic Spree, but
well,
jokingly.
I have curly hair, and the guy from Polyphonic Spree has curly hair.
He does.
Arcade Fire, people have said, just like...
Well, I have curly hair, and the lady from Arcade Fire has curly hair.
But nobody's playing like.
But it's not a musical comparison. It's just like, look at all these fucking people up there. Like,
yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, so Arcade Fire.
A long time ago, Andrew shamed me out of liking Arcade Fire, even though I truly liked them. And this was when we were like 20. He just spent some time, like for 5 minutes, writing Arcade Fire like songs, and then he's like, "All right, come on." Let's write. But now he likes them. He like gets drunk and puts on an Arcade Fire song. He's like, Sabrina, listen to this. We need to write a song like this. And I just want to like Bart Simpson strangle him.
How do you write songs?
You're just popping right in there with the question. I wanted to tell you that Johnny Cash also lived in Asbury Park in a hotel there.
He did.
For a little while. And that was it. That's it.
That photo in behind you guys of my old band is in Asbury Park at the theater that's on the thing. Yeah.
Awesome.
I love that town, man. That's a jam. That town is a jam.
Well, yeah. I hope y'all will appreciate it for what
it is. Yeah, this will be my first time there.
Bruce Springsteen's from there, I think.
Yeah. So it's Bon Jovi. says Bon Jovi. Okay? Because they're from there, too. Okay, so let me get back to the original question. All the people in the band, whenever I see a lot of people in a band, as a guy in a band and a band leader and trying to get fucking people to somewhere at a certain time, and van calls and everybody goes to the bathroom at a different time when you stop for gas, everyone gets in and start the van, and then the guy goes like, oh, wait a minute, and some chips or something.
I left my hair products at the hotel.
Some chips. We do have that guy who...
So how does it work? Is this... Because you guys... It seems like things are on an upswing. Your band is doing well. You got this record coming out. You got a nice 4-star review so far before it's even come out, a few weeks before it's even come out.
Was it a 4-star?
It was.
Cool.
4 whole stars.
Thank you. We've had very lengthy conversations.
Is it hard? Or
yeah, it's okay. It's extremely hard.
Okay.
We have 9 people. Exactly what you're talking about. Just, it's like running a kindergarten. Whoever decides to be in charge that day.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all adults, but like, we're all musicians. We're not responsible adults.
Right.
So, we've talked about it and just like, if we're ever going to tour long term with 9 people,
you need a tour manager.
Yeah, we're going to need somebody to step up and be the bad guy and pay them money.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
Because. We did it when we went on tour with Spoon. We're not doing it this time when we go out to the East Coast.
We just can't afford to take all 9 people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
On this particular tour, because it's going to be a tour of dive bars with no budget.
Yeah.
But it's a necessary tour. We got to get to CMJ.
Yeah. And it looks like you're going to be up there for... You're going to do a CMJ, and then you're going to be in that area playing some shows for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good CMJ show you got on?
We have... Stuff? 2 CMJ spots, and then we have a show in Brooklyn just at a dive bar.
Yeah.
Probably not supposed to advertise.
Sure.
Then we have some radio stuff in New York, too. So those days are all going to be double days, kind of like during South by here.
Yeah. How do you do in those days? How does your voice do?
We got to be careful with our voices, but the challenge is that in New York, we always want to
party your ass
a little
off.
Bit
yeah.
Harder. Not as bad as LA, though.
Yeah, but I've already been to New York 3 or 4 times this year. I don't need to party my ass off.
You say that,
and then you get there. You guys have a friend that lives up there or something that hooks up with you?
Yeah. I have a lot of
you got to look out for those guys. Yeah. I got a guy, Joseph.
Yeah.
I was just there like a month ago. And I said, hey, man, I'm staying in the city. Can you just come to the city? He said, oh, you got to come to this place in Brooklyn. It's so cool. And I was like, just meet me in the city. We met in Lower East Side, had dinner. Somehow.
He got you to
I
Brooklyn?
Was in a car crossing the Brooklyn Bridge.
It's
going,
not
like,
that
dude, what
bad.
Am I doing?
Aww.
No, I know. But you got friends that they want you to experience New York while you're there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love this club we play in Brooklyn. It's really just a dive bar with skee ball and a taco stand in the back, and our friends there have a good society, good community, and they bring a lot of people. It's called Don Pedro's.
Yeah.
It's a good bar.
We've never had a bad show there.
Yeah, that's true. We never
I went there last year.
Yeah?
Yeah. On a spree, like it was a drinking day that started. There's like a... you know what I mean? Like one of those days where it's a whole thing and you end up with like a Playboy from the month and year of your birth. Like you're just carrying. Like, I don't know how I have it. I just somehow, like, my trip through
that's
that day.
Beautiful.
But we started out drinking at, like, an Urban Outfitters.
Ooh.
Isn't that weird?
That sounds bad.
Well, my friend was like, they have a cool bar at the on the roof. And we went.
Of course they do.
And they had a cool bar on the roof. Anyway, okay, so, yeah, it's hard to get nine people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and so this tour is just you guys. How do you handle, like, merch and stuff, like, on the road? Like,
I mean, we take turns with merch, ideally.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of the people that's best at merch is one of the people who we don't get to take on this next tour.
Oh.
So.
But you are taking the whole nine-person band.
No. We're taking six.
We just can't afford
to. No,
right
I know.
Now.
I understand.
I thought we would be able to take the nine-piece, but it's just too early in the game. Within about 6 months of them joining the band, they're on this tour of large theaters, which is like a musician's aspiration. And that was really exciting, but we drained our funds that we'd raised from like a year of being a band. And then we had 3 months to recoup funds to go on this East Coast tour.
Yeah.
And it was just barely enough time to get enough money to back six people on the road. I mean, we're taking all nine of us to McAllen this weekend to play a big festival there.
Uh-huh.
And they gave us a good budget, luckily, because I'm sorting it out. I couldn't even sleep. It was 6 a.m. And I'm sorting it out. I'm like, okay, it's going to cost us $300 to take nine of us to McAllen and back. It's going to cost our band $300. That's with them providing lodging, the festival. I just mean to feed us all dinner, feed us all breakfast, and get gas.
Yeah.
So we can't afford that budget, $300 every 24 hours. There's no way.
No.
You know, we have to skimp by. And with the six of us, we live a little differently as well than with the nine.
Yeah,
we
there's a little more
like
room in the van.
Scum.
Oh.
We live like sleaze balls when it's just the six of us.
Yeah, I always think about being in a band with just like two people all the time. Just like how much money you would make and how easy it would be to tour and...
There's a lot of people that do it
because
of that.
Yeah.
I mean, over
and
the
they
last,
can just,
yeah.
They can go on tour all year and not worry about paying rent, not worry about any of that stuff.
We need to become pop stars and get these, like, electronic backing tracks. And then you're a great dancer, so we can just choreograph it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your band, you couldn't do backing tracks. The kind of music you play is too organic.
No. We're never gonna.
Okay.
We're never yeah. gonna. Ditch
I have nothing against that, but,
that,
like, I'm in a band.
We're really, really lucky to have that band.
Yeah.
I just think about like how easy it would be if you were like Death from Above or something, like a
right.
two-piece band that like has a big sound, but just two people.
And when it's time
you to go in a Honda Civic,
when
yeah,
it's time to
driving,
leave the
yeah.
club, you
yeah.
just go, "Hey man, come on."
Yeah.
There's no like, "Hey, where's Dave?" "No, I don't know. I thought I saw him over there." "Well, where's Skippy?" "I don't know. Skippy
no,
was
try,
outside."
Try trying to leave a city and being like, "Oh, we're missing one." And then you make a phone call, and he's like, "I'm on the French Quarter buying an alligator head."
This is a true story. She's not making this up. Yeah.
Try.
That
okay.
is awesome.
I don't want
yeah,
to rant
let's do
too
some
much
more. No,
about
I love
it.
This stuff. It
okay.
makes me laugh.
Try. I'm all alone in the dressing room 45 minutes before the show, enjoying the peace of it. And somebody from the band storms in. "Where have you been?" they say to me. "We're all waiting for you at a sushi place across the street." I'm like, "Excuse me?" I put on my badge, my sunglasses, my jacket over a leotard, and I storm across the street. And I wasn't nice. I was pretty cold at this moment. And I walked up to the server. I'm like, "They'll have it to go."
That's what happens when you don't have a tour manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
For nine people.
Yeah. Well, the six people.
I'm no tour manager. I'm too emotional.
Do you guys have a booking agent?
We do.
Okay.
We have this wonderful man came into our lives in July of last year when we were doing the Blackheart residency.
Uh-huh.
His name's Rick. He has a record label called 9 Mile Records. They're
and that's
putting
you put out,
out
your record.
All of
yeah.
our stuff.
Yeah.
He's pumping it out, and he also is our booking agent, but. I was really specific about that point in my life where, when I imagined that point where I'd have to turn over a lot of responsibility to somebody else's hands, I had this dream of how it would go, And the idea was that I would work really closely with someone for about a year to where they really figured out what we wanted, you know, as individuals, like personally, what me and Andrew wanted for the band and how we might interact with the people that we work with and who we knew. And he took that time with us. And now it's been about a year or more that we've been working together. And it got to a point where we were on tour so much that I had to be like, hey, Rick, you're on your own to book this October tour. I can't help at all. And he was pretty happy about it, I think, because he wanted to put us into some nicer clubs. And we had been pretty intent on playing some of these little dive bars that we were comfortable with our other band, that background.
Yeah. That's cool, man. It's cool. You know, there's a lot of that. That's a lot of what people don't have enough time yet to sort of like grow and develop things. And that's a really smart way to handle it. Now you're kind of like, you don't have to really say much to them, I bet. Were you going to take
absolutely,
a sip?
Absolutely, and it's so nice to... Don't ask me when I'm going to take drinks of water on the air. It's embarrassing, because then it's like every 20 seconds.
I want to hear the gulp.
Well, sometimes you might, if you turn it up, and if there's an awkward pause.
There's awkward pauses.
I was saying something about Rick. Oh, yeah, I love that he's in town.
Yeah.
Andrew and I can really just meet up with him when we need to.
Which we're doing,
we're doing right after this.
It's just, yeah, having a sense of professionalism and having goals and being able to be face-to-face with somebody and him lay him out and treat it like a business instead of just a project.
Yeah.
And he respects our creative freedom. He never would try to restrict us. However, he did come up with the set order on that album.
Oh, that's good. It's good sometimes to have an outside person
like,
get an idea
of that.
I just want
to make a suggestion, and we all really liked it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, like, if I was involved in your organization outside of the band, I would give you total creative freedom, because what you guys do is just, do you guys get, I mean, does, when you go in with songs, do you just, Mike just records them, or does he ever have, like, hey, why don't you make this chorus better?
It's funny, because last night, we ran into Mike.
Where?
It was, he records right by our practice
space.
Oh,
yeah, over there.
And he came by to say hi, and the boys all, you know, walked back in to start rehearsing, but they didn't grab me in time. And he's like, you know, you can ask me. If you're writing new songs in there, you can ask me for my input, which is really awesome of him to offer. But we just have, we've always worked in this insular way, because Andrew and I already, that's a lot of input, but he suggested that I start writing on ukulele. And then I told him, you know, that I would call him soon. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm running off down the hall trying to get back to practice, because I just don't want to keep the guys waiting. And Mike's like, it's a different tuning. It might spurn some creativity.
That's
so he's
true.
Very
he's good
encouraging.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
he, I don't know what, like, when I worked with him a lot, there was a band that kind of created music together, or that did create music. But like, people kind of let us decide our songs. And then when we go in, he'd be like, maybe this intro is a little too long and that kind of stuff. I remember one time we doubled an intro, added a second intro to a song. So like an intro and then another intro. I remember him just like, I was like, the fuck are you doing? Like, where's this song?
Yeah.
He added Rain to the second to last track, which is the acoustic track on this album. Andrew and I have always had an acoustic track on our other albums, and that tradition is continuing into this band. It was really rainy the day we recorded it, really rainy, and Mike has sort of a tin roof, and he opened up his door and put a microphone just out of harm's way of the rain and started getting these outside sounds the whole day while we worked on this song.
We recorded like 3 or 4 different tracks of just rain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it fits really good with the song. We actually decided to keep it stripped down. Like, Sabrina just went in there and recorded it, one mic, just her singing it on an acoustic guitar. We were going to, like, go over it again and re-record the guitar. And yeah, she did. She messed up, but it's, like, it's got character. And that just, like, adds to the character to it. And
that song has a lot of character. I feel I feel like it's a backing track for a film noir.
Yeah. Yeah, it has that, like, you know, it has that sort of, like, dingy feel, yeah, which I enjoy. You said you were going to make a video for,
oh,
are you,
we're gonna make
we not talk about this?
A hell of a video. Okay. It's time to talk about
Let's
the video and the man behind the videos.
Who's that?
This guy came to us right when we were super busy. We went out on tour for basically 2 months straight in the spring and summer. With the Spoon Tour and our own tour. And this guy came to us named John Valley, who I only communicated with through the internet. And he asked, can I make a music video for your EP? I really like the song Baby Doll. And I was like, yeah, I would love to have a music video for the EP, but we don't have any money and we don't have any time. We can't be involved in any way. But if you feel like doing it, even so, then go ahead. So we went out on tour, and like 3 weeks later, he's like, I have a rough cut for you to look at.
Awesome.
He spent $40 and he made this music video using friends as actors and himself as the main actor. He's a great actor. And we decided to use him for our subsequent music videos. And we decided to, you know, raise a budget for him as well.
Good.
A small budget, but the next video is going to be for our single, Baby When I Close My Eyes. Uh-huh. And
he just won Best Narrative.
For Baby Doll.
For Baby Doll, that music video.
Oh, really?
In the Austin Music Video Awards.
Yes. Oh, just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
I saw that.
He's a filmmaker that you could have in here at some point. He's such a character. His name is John Valley. John with an H.
That's like me.
He looks like Freddie Mercury.
He does. And then I met him in person.
Because of a mustache
and
or because of teeth?
Oh, yeah. Mustache.
Oh.
And black hair.
Oh, yeah.
I met him in person, and I didn't realize it was him because in the video, he looks really big, real cut, and like an imposing man. And then in real life, he's just a regular-sized man, and he was on a date or something with a friend of mine at one of my shows, and I greeted her and not him. And I looked at him really awkwardly with this sense of déjà vu, and then he felt like very awkward, like I had treated him in some way, like he'd
and
done something
wrong. I
think
I went up to you and I
love
was like,
when
yeah,
stuff
that's the
like
dude
that
who
happens.
Just did our video.
Yeah.
I ran in and we had drinks. And so this video, Baby When I Close My Eyes, Andrew and I were on tour. We were in L.A. on a giant dog tour, and we were up to see the sunrise, and we had this crazy idea for this video, Baby When I Close My Eyes. And it was to have a man do a really physically challenging dance, but he's not necessarily a trained dancer, and he would have a very expressive face. And that was the original idea, and we had some people in mind to act this role, like the guy from Future Islands, Sam, but we couldn't get him. So we got my Uncle Rocky to come to town from Houston and do this role, and he had to wear a gold spandex bodysuit and butterfly wings. And I think he and John worked well together. And then Rocky partied with us all night long, and I'm still hungover.
Oh.
But I wasn't involved in the making of this video either. John Valley took the reins, and he wrote his own subplot in, and it involves puppets, which ate up the whole budget. But they're, I don't know, they're great actors too.
I love puppets.
So does John. I think it's going to be a really video.
When will it be out? Like around the time
He's
of the release of the record?
For October 8th. That's our tour kickoff date.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We want to get it out before the record's out, but, you know, that's 8 days from now.
Yeah.
And just shot it like
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Ew.
But I think he can turn it around.
Yeah. He's a badass.
We have full faith in John Valley. I think we'll have a long working relationship with him and with 9 Mile Records.
That's good, man.
Have local stuff going on.
Yeah. Who else does 9 Mile Records have on their roster?
I'm terrible right now.
Shiny Ribs?
Not anymore.
They're popular.
They moved on, but yeah, they had Shiny Ribs. They have Pat Sweeney from Nashville.
Okay.
They have Tina Rose locally. They have Sounds Del Mar, who we have some shows coming up with. They're super fun. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody.
Are you guys going to make a Calypso album? Like, not Calypso, but, you know, tropical.
A tropical album, yeah.
We'd like to.
That's in our future. We want to make a full acoustic and island instrument
album. Do you like
the
song
album.
The Tide is High?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Blondie? Wait, who really did
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Blondie.
They wrote that?
Yeah. Well, I think awesome. At the time we were listening to, like, Elvis in Hawaii, or, like, Blue in Hawaii. It's
oh,
called.
Yeah, Blue Hawaii.
Blue Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we were just like, nobody does that shit anymore. Nobody just goes out to Hawaii and records an album.
In the 50s and 60s.
So you get a new ukulele.
We have ukuleles. Bro. We In the 50s and 60s, they had this interesting way of recording in Hawaii, which was, like, one room recording with the players were set up in, like, an orchestral setting.
Yeah.
Where they were distanced from the mic in ways that were important to the dynamic of the song.
Sure, of course.
So we'd take 9 of us out there and maybe some string players. And then once out there, we would maybe hook up with some local musicians who could sing that really, you know.
Yeah,
special yodely way. And maybe some people who played special flutes.
Somebody with a lap steel with that sort of feel. There's a Hawaiian style of lap.
I think we'll just run a lap steel. But, oh, yeah, the way
you need
a
guy.
Play,
you can't
beautiful.
Just get up there and...
Yeah,
and you're not Don Ho.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
But we want to record that way in a room, challenging ourselves to use just those...
Instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to do it all together in one room
and
with
have all the
vocalists.
Songs just be about being in Hawaii and, like, have it be an escape for somebody.
Are you guys together?
No.
You asked us this last time.
I can't remember. That was like
We've
a year ago.
We've been together since we were 15. But no, we're not together.
Not together together.
Does this sound like a fart? Because I was worried.
It sounds like a zipper.
Okay. Because I've been playing with it, and I didn't want people to think I was farting the whole time.
That's really good. I was on a podcast that came out today, somebody else's, and in it, I know that I talked about when I met Nakia. I had to poop and I had to excuse myself from the conversation because of that. There's a lot of that kind of talk going on.
He was at your house?
No, I saw him in an alley right in between shows during South by Southwest.
You were pooping in an
no,
alley?
No, I wasn't pooping. I was making my way to my next gig and I ran into him and I kind of knew who he was and knew who I was and we were like, hey man, shit, can't believe I'm meeting you. And then like,
where you went,
he just kept on talking and then I was like, hey man, listen, I would love to hang out in this alley and talk to you, but I'm playing in like an hour. And I really have to poop. And then he respected
me. He
felt
like that was just your out with anyone.
Well, and it's not like you can just walk in anywhere like dive bar and expect to have like a door on the stall. You actually have to find a place to poop. Like
oh, on Red River? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere in that whole area.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an operation.
Yeah. You know what would be great is to have, like, have you been to the W?
Well...
Their bathrooms are great for if you did coke, too.
Whoa.
I don't do coke anymore, but if I
always
think...
I never did coke in the bathroom of the W.
I never did, but okay. But every time I've gone to the bathroom of the W, I'm like, sure, man, if I did coke, I would come here.
Is it, like, black toilets?
No, it's like, it's a solo bathroom. It's like just a whole solo bathroom with a sound and that. They'll never hear your keys.
We had a theater like that on the Spoon tour. We arrived at this theater and underneath the theater, 12 individual bathrooms with showers.
Oh yeah.
I think we each dispersed and we were all just gone for an hour.
Did you all just go shower?
Yeah.
We all just did our thing in a bathroom.
Each bathroom was like as big as your living room.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just private. There's mirrors everywhere. I think we all just like spun.
You spun around in circles.
Yes.
And you spotted in the mirror because of your history in ballet.
Yep.
You knew how to mark.
Are either
spot.
Of you guys on Tinder?
God, no.
Didn't I ask you that last time too?
Did I do a rant about Tinder last time?
No,
I can't
but let's
stand
do it this time.
Tinder. I feel like I've just been ranting all day.
No, I love it.
It's because I had coffee. But Tinder makes me want
coffee.
To cry. It makes me so upset. And I've seen a lot of people use Tinder around me, and they just heartlessly look at their phone screen and just swipe over people's faces in rejection or acceptance just based on someone's selfie. I don't understand the basis of this. It has no basis in... what I consider natural attraction.
A connection.
Or connection.
A real connection.
It has no balls. There's no guts. There's no, like, walking up to somebody in public with the fear of being rejected or accidentally connecting to somebody. It's horrible.
Plus,
I would never need to be on Tinder, you know?
Yeah. But it's hard for a girl in a band to meet dudes.
No, I'm constantly surrounded by men.
No, I know, but like not in that way, not in a romance way. And I bet none of these guys are opening the door for you or like waiting for you to finish doing something.
I'm very lucky to have a very good partner.
Oh, you do? You have a partner?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
For
I should
what?
Have asked from the beginning. You have a good partner.
Yeah, it's not something I talk about a lot in relation to the band, but I'm lucky in the cold world of, you know, being on the road all the time.
You have a warm person
to
come
know
home
somebody.
To.
Yeah.
Someone to call after a shitty
gig. Somebody
gig.
Who built a fence in our backyard single-handedly almost, you know, in order to keep the 100-pound dog from escaping.
Yeah. Good dude. What kind of dog do you have?
It's a Catahoula, but she grew too big, so she might not be a Catahoula. She might be a Great Dane.
Oh.
Mixed.
That's awesome.
She's awesome.
I love big dogs.
I have violent scratches all over my body because of that party we had. I think we got her riled up. I think everybody has patches, scratches everywhere.
Patches, scratches. That's a good... Patches, scratch. Patches, I'm depending on you, son. Yeah, love that song. What about you, Andrew? Yeah, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
No, I'm seeing
Special
somebody.
Special someone in your life.
She's quite exotic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Remember last time how many times I told you look like Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
I remember that. That must have been annoying.
I don't get it as much anymore. Grew my hair out.
Yeah, and he's super like now. He's like buff.
Fat.
No, he's buff.
I don't think for him.
If a guy like that got fat, that would be like weird.
More
like
power
all of a sudden he's fat.
Him.
Yeah.
Get a dad bod.
Dad bod. All right, so you're going on this tour. It's mostly just you guys doing these shows. There's no, you don't have any band you're going on the road with?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's why it's the dive bar tour.
Oh, yeah. You're familiar with that tour, right?
Fuck yeah, I'm familiar with that tour. That's how I know the Saint. I was surprised that you guys aren't going to Birmingham to the Nick. Don't you guys play there? That's a
Never heard
famous
of it.
Dive place.
Mm-mm.
I'd love to stop in Birmingham, so I'll look it up.
You're going to McAllen, New Orleans, Athens, Asheville, Chapel Hill, New York City a couple of times, Asbury Park, of course, at the Saint, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Lakewood, Ohio, Chicago, Dallas, and ending it all October 24th at the ABGB in Austin, Texas.
Lakewood's basically Cleveland.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's just outside.
Okay.
Yeah, the ABGB will be our...
Have you guys ever played there before?
Show.
The ABGB?
Yeah.
Like... 25
Oh, wow,
times.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love that place.
I love that place too, man. Yeah. I love the food. You
they
guys
treat bands really well.
Yeah,
they
you know.
Treat bands really well.
Yeah.
Paul
Miner, I think, is good.
Yeah.
He structured it that way.
We've always known Paul. He's great. And the owner of that place, Mark Jensen, he's been really awesome and generous to our bands as well. Very supportive.
What are you guys listening to these days? You don't have to say it. Yeah, it's a
funny.
Good question.
Just before I came here, I was listening to the Pretenders' first album.
Oh yeah, I have it on vinyl.
Yeah, I was
dude.
Listening to that record, and I was listening to Flesh Eaters, which is like an ex side project.
Oh, cool.
They're really interesting because it's a punk band with a saxophone.
Oh, you know what? That's who you should get on your show.
Flesh Eaters?
No.
That'd be great.
My friend Jesse Dayton, who's a guy here, is Billy Zoom is ill, and he's been playing guitar with them, but he also makes movies, and he's a country guy. He's very interesting and super entertaining. Jesse Dayton for your show.
Oh, to interview?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to interview
fantastic.
Him. That'd be awesome.
He made a great zombie movie with an awesome premise, and it has Malcolm McDowell in it. Everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Zombex. That's the name of it. Zombex. Anyway, okay, so Flesh Eaters.
Yeah.
What about you, Andrew? What have you been listening to?
There's this band called King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Horrible name, but really good band from Australia.
Okay.
They're also like a 12-piece they just have unnecessary members who just, like, I don't know, play harmonica and one beats a tambourine and, like, I don't see how they do it. And they're from Australia and they come to the States all the time. They just played it like the Mohawk, but they're doing really cool stuff.
I wonder if they have those things. I read this really interesting thing earlier this summer, article about these Canadian bands in the 80s that became very huge, like, worldwide. And they were sponsored by the government. Like, a lot of the cost to get out and get the word out was...
I know they have that in Germany.
Yeah?
I mean, it makes sense that Australia might pay musicians, but I don't know.
Are you guys looking to Europe yet, Australian? You are?
A giant dog? Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sweet Spirit, hopefully, too.
Yeah. Well, Sweet Spirit, your album Kokomo, which is your debut full-length album, will be available on October 16th. This is actually coming out tomorrow. Is that okay with you guys?
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You're welcome to play a track off there, okay. Whatever you want to play.
Okay, good, thanks.
However many you want to play.
Okay,
I won't bore them.
I won't bore them. No, I usually play like a part of a tune in the intro and then a whole tune at the end of the show. Is there anything that you want to let the people know? This record is absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if I expressed that enough when I sent you that, dude, your album's awesome text message. I was serious. Like,
were you
No, I was just fucking listening. I was like, God damn Tom it, Cruise. Man. This is like really, yeah. I was doing just the Tom Cruise. Joel. That was his name, right? In that movie. Joel. Get off the babysitter.
I've never seen that movie.
Joel, you need to get off the babysitter. This album's just it's fantastic. Mike did a great job, and he obviously you guys are an amazing band, and I don't even know what else to say. Is there anything you want to let the people know about you guys before you go? Pick up the album. The vinyl will come out at some point, because everybody that's been coming on here that's putting out records that's been on vinyl for like last 3 months are like, our vinyl comes out like 4 months after our record comes out, because it's
backed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read a thing the other day that it was 300% up. I know that's not a lot, because the number that's up 300% isn't like 75 million is up 300%, but it's up a lot. That's good.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and release our product without the vinyl right now, because we have to, because, you know, it took us about 9 months process to make this happen, and we can't.
Yeah, you got a tour and stuff. Of course.
But we'll be really excited to have the vinyl, because that's going to be a really awesome product as well.
Yeah.
But I think people can kind of consider that a separate entity from, you know, what these songs are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't mean it in any way, except I was just telling you, don't feel bad. It's happening to everybody right now.
That's what's going on with the record presses, and that's just the way it is right now. And I want to do stuff. I don't want to be delayed.
Yeah.
By like 30%.
Yeah. So what happens now when you put out this record and you go into full on Sweet Spirit mode? When does A Giant Dog play again? Or there's just not, it's just kind of on a side burner.
Oh no, we're staying busy, and we have a big announcement coming up next month.
Oh yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Does it involve me? I don't know why I said that.
You're going to be a father.
Oh, finally.
It involves our third album. A Giant Dog recorded a third album with Mike McCarthy as well. It's called Pile, and it's going to be released, and the label releasing it will make that announcement next month.
Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited for A Giant Dog as well.
Yeah.
We just keep going. We're just busy now.
That's great.
Double busy.
I think that's really, really great. I think that you're making amazing music too. And I really do. I'm very, very glad that you guys made this album, Kokomo. And I'm stoked that I get to hear it and I have my own copy.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, when you do the Giant Dog album, will you guys come back again?
We'd love to.
And we should just do this like every few months.
Yeah.
Like check in, because I really do like you guys as people, but I fucking think you're awesome.
I'm disappointed musicians. You don't have any soup.
I know. I was like,
where's the soup?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was making soup last. Oh, that. It was winter time.
I can't believe
time.
You like
yeah.
us, even though we made fun of the way the your soup smelled.
I like that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stick around and pose for a picture. I'm gonna have my photographer come out and do some shots of us.
You keep a photographer like in a closet.
I keep a lot of things in the closet. Thanks for coming. Everyone, get out there and pick up Kokomo. You can probably pre-order it right on Bandcamp. There's a song you can go check out on Bandcamp.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can pre-order it.
Yeah. Stick around.
You need to feed your gimp better.
After. I gotta.
That's what that. That's what that smell.
That soup is what I feed my gimp. Andrew, Sabrina, thank you guys. Andrew and Sabrina from the band Sweet Spirit, their debut full-length album produced by my man, Mike McCarthy. It's called Kokomo. Will be out Friday, October 16th, 2015, on 9 Mile Records. You can go pre-order it now on Bandcamp and probably on iTunes as well. Listen, man, this band is incredible. This record's incredible. We're going to play another song in just a minute called Rebel Rebel in its entirety. The song's great. Don't forget, you can go to Bandcamp, pick up their EP, and you can also pick up the single that they did with... the two songs that they did with Britt Daniel from Spoon. And check them out. They're going out on tour from October 3rd to October 24th, at least just this leg. They'll be doing all of the East Coast, playing CMJ, going to Chicago, coming back down through Dallas, and of course, ending on October 24th at the ABGB here in Austin. I want to thank Sabrina and Andrew for coming by, and I also want to thank them for making such great music, man. This is a great record. I love this album, Kokomo. Been listening to it all day. I'm super stoked about it. Pick it up October 16th, 2015. And hey, listen, you can find out all about Sweet Spirit at sweetspiritatx.com. Okay, and find out where they're playing on the tour. Maybe they're coming to a town near you. So thank you so much to Sabrina and Andrew for coming by. Listen, while you're out there on the internet looking up Sweet Spirit and looking them up on iTunes, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You'll get a new one all the time, and I think that's the same way it works on your iPhone podcast app. So look that up. Also, we're available on Stitcher if you like to stream your podcasts. And of course, you can like our Facebook page and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Sweet Spirit for coming by. Andrew and Sabrina are great people. Find out more about them at sweetspiritatx.com. Find out if they're coming to a town near you. Now, here is a song, another song from their new album, Kokomo. In stores, October 16th, 2015. Or, you know, online. Available. Available. October 16th, 2015. Here it is. Rebel, Rebel. Let's get down.
You got the kind of pride that can't be satisfied, 'cause you're a rebel, 'cause you're a rebel. Cause you're a rebel. Youth is a waste. Get some lines on that face. Breathe in, breathe out. Cause life is about something more, and nothing is for sure.
Sometimes you get so low, you wanna make somebody high. Oh, you know sometimes.